Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John, the first chapter. John chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 18 verses. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open to this passage. It is my text. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Let's pray. Now, Father, we get a glimpse of the Christmas story before the Christmas story. The writer of this gospel, John, who was not the John being mentioned, that was John the Baptist, but John the apostle, wants to show us that the one who came at Christmas time already existed. He existed before time. He existed before creation. In fact, we are his creation. We are his creatures. So we're asking the question, why on earth did Jesus come? And we're going to see in this passage this morning that he came to his own. Open our eyes, I pray. Amen. Why doesn't John start his book like Matthew or Luke by simply telling us the story of the conception of the child and the baby's birth to a peasant woman? In John, the Gospel of John, we never meet the baby Jesus, only the adult Jesus. Why is that? Well, the truth is, Christmas started long before Jesus was born. John wanted to point out to us the Christmas story didn't start in Bethlehem. It started out much, much longer before that. Now, when introduced to someone, we often ask, "Where are you from?" Well, John starts his story by telling us where Jesus is from. First of all, from the dawn of creation, God has been revealing his glory. From the dawn of creation, God has been revealing his glory. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot read that verse without hearing echoes of other verses in the Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 19:1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. From the very dawn of creation, God has been revealing His glory. After man's fall into sin, God sent the prophets to reveal His glory. Keep your hand here. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways. So God revealed His glory through creation, but Adam's sin marred creation. God then had to send the prophets to give further revelation of His glory. All the prophets could do, of course, was to speak the word that was given them. They spoke the words of God. God told them what to say. But they were limited in this revelation to simply the words that they heard. At Christmas, however, God sent the word as the final revelation of His glory. At Christmas, God sent the word itself as the final revelation of His glory. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. There it is again. He's the Creator. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. And when He made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So God first spoke His glory in creation. He spoke the world into creation to show His glory. After man's sin, He sent the prophets to reveal His glory. But at Christmas time, God sent the Word, that Word that was with Him in Genesis chapter 1. The Word that created the world and all that is in it. He sent that word to us at Christmas. Hebrews 3:5. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. Again, this is one of the prophets. For a testimony of those things which were spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast our firm hope to the end. So Moses was one of these prophets that God used in former times to speak the word, to reveal His glory. But in finality, He sent His Son as His full revelation, as His final revelation. So from the dawn of creation to Christmas, God had been revealing His glory, and now it comes in the form of Christ. Secondly, the Christmas irony is that God's revealed glory has been veiled in flesh. Now go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is ironic. God sends Jesus to be the full representation of His nature, to be the full radiance of His glory, but he brings Him into this world as a human in flesh. John 1:14. And the Word, this majestic Word that we've been reading about in the first verses of John 1, this majestic Word that we read about in Genesis chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, John goes on to say he was fortunate because we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. But many did not see his glory. That's the irony. God revealed his glory, but it was veiled in flesh. In other words, when Jesus was born, he didn't glow in the dark. Isaiah 53 tells us, he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. He didn't stand out in the crowd. There was anything particularly noticeable about him. But here is God in the flesh, God's glory residing in a man, the God-man, but yet it's hidden. Again, this is why John says that he came as a light, but not everyone saw the light. In fact, even his own family, his own townspeople, in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, they said, who is this? Isn't this just the carpenter's son? That's all he looked like. He looked like a carpenter's son. He just looked like a man. Even at his birth, the shepherds weren't told to look for a halo. You know, these artist renderings of Jesus always got this halo above his head, or he's in the cradle with a halo and a halo above Mary's head. No, he didn't have a halo. The angels didn't tell the shepherds that here's the sign that you found the promised one. Here's the sign. He'll be glowing. He'll have a halo above his head. No, they said he's a baby lying in a manger. He's wrapped in a diaper, laying in a feed trough. That's how you'll know him. So the irony is that God reveals his glory veiled in flesh. Thirdly, human flesh and divine word are polar opposites. Human flesh and divine word are polar opposites. Isaiah chapter 40. All flesh is grass, and his loveliness like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Flesh is transitory. Flesh is temporary. You blow on the seeds of a dandelion and it dissipates. That's what we are. That's what flesh is. But the word is different. Yet God sent his word in flesh. Flesh is like grass. The word stands forever. Again, this is Isaiah's way of comparing human frailty and divine stability. Nobody recognized him, as John chapter 1 tells us. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Nobody recognized him because he wasn't what you expected to see. You would expect that God would be more recognizable, more outstanding. There'd be something about his look, his stature, that just automatically said, that must be the Son of God. No. He looked like you and me. He was flesh. He was human. Nothing, you would think, could hide God's glory more than making Jesus into a suffering mortal man. You almost have to wonder, was Christ revealing God or hiding him? Look at John. Go back to John. Look at John chapter 3. John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. But you'll notice the judgment here is that men would rather love darkness than light. They did not recognize the light that God had sent. John chapter 8, verse 12. That Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 9:5. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And again, it's repeated again in John 12. Jesus was the light, but yet he wasn't recognized as such, because people could not get over the fact that he was just flesh. He was human. But the truth is, only the Spirit can enable us to see the light. Only the Spirit can enable us to see the light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God has to do a work in our heart to take the veil away, to show us the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered, said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 6:37. For all that the Father gives me, he will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Verse 44, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Only the Spirit can enable us to see the glory of Christ. To those who've been blinded by the devil, he just looks like a very ordinary mortal. But we have seen the light. We have seen the light. We're like John the Baptist before us. We're to testify of the light. Fourth, Christ reveals God's glory through his relationship to the Father. Go back to John chapter 1. Again, verse 14. How is one way that Christ, the man Christ Jesus, how is one way that he did reveal the glory of God? Well, it was through his relationship to the Father. Look at John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, that's Jesus, he has explained him. No two were ever closer than the Father and the Son. Christ reveals God's glory in his relationship to the Father. Matthew 11. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Luke 3. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Christ came to reveal the Father to us. When we have seen Christ, we have seen the Father. When we have seen Christ, we have seen God in the flesh. Lastly, Christ reveals God's glory in how he related to people. Christ reveals God's glory in how he related to people. Look at John 1:11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But notice the phrase, he came to his own. He came to his own. Our series for this Christmas is, why on earth did Jesus come? Why on earth did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to earth? John wastes no time in telling us. Verse 11 will be our theme verse. It'll be our jumping off point. Why on earth did Jesus come? Verse 11 tells us, he came to his own. He came to his own. Now, again, looking at John chapter 1, especially referring back to creation in the first few verses, we are his own through creation. We are his own through creation. He came to his own. What's that mean? We're his. He made us. He created us. Now, I think in verse 11, there are actually the word own is being used in two ways. Again, verse 11. He came to his own. I think, again, this is talking about humanity, mankind. He came to mankind. He came to his own. The second, however, way it's used here is the Jewish nation. Now, again, verse 11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. So he came, he invaded his creation. He came into creation. He came for his own, those whom he created. He came in flesh, just like we're flesh. But specifically, he came to his own nationality, his own heritage. He was Jewish. He was the son of David. He was the Jewish Messiah. And they rejected him. His own people. He was the prophesied Messiah. He was the one that they had been waiting for. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John 12. John 12, 37. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Isaiah saw the glory of Christ. That's who him is. That's who he's talking about. He came into his own and his own received him not. So, why on earth did Jesus come? He came to his own. We are his own through creation. We are his own through incarnation. We are his own through incarnation. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. We non-Jewish people can receive the Messiah that many of them have rejected. Christ has come in the flesh. God has come to live among us. He is the God-man. We are his own because he came to be human. He didn't come as an angel. He came as a baby, wrapped in a diaper. We are his own people through the fact that he became one of us. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is to have the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ relates to humanity, full of grace and truth. The prophets came. Remember we talked about the prophets when former days, former times, they came with the law and thunder to terrify sinners. Christ came full of grace and truth. So he came to his own. We are his own through creation. We are his own through incarnation. But most importantly, we are his own through salvation. We are his own through salvation. Again, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Jesus revealed God by bringing grace and truth. That grace puts us in a relationship with the Father. That grace makes us children of God, if you believe. Why on earth did Jesus come? Jesus came to earth for the people he created, which is good news, because you are one of them. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have fully revealed yourself through your Son. What do we need to know about you, Father? Jesus shows us. And what did he show us? How does John sum it up? He's full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. God in heaven, we fall upon your grace. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen.